You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. I have an unusual show today. I guarantee it's an unusual show today.
Go easy now.
I have a good friend and my financial backer, Mike Quinn, and his buddy, Jim Sowers.
Sowers.
Jim is in town to visit Mike. Not to visit Mike.
Not to visit Mike.
But to ride an El Tour de Tucson, and he'll be doing it uniquely on a unicycle.
There you go.
Think so.
I saw you're a basketball player too with the unicycle.
That's my main thing is unicycle basketball. We play 5-on-5.
What in the world inspired you to do that?
I love basketball, but you get older, the knees aren't holding up. And I heard about it. I just turned 44, and I wound up getting involved and forming a team. We won the national championship several times. Now that's not that big of a deal. There's only a few teams that compete. But the world championships are very competitive, and we did get second place in worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that was 15 years ago? How many years ago?
No. Worlds was 10 years ago. But here's a little side note of trivia. For many years, the dominant unicycle basketball team was from Puerto Rico. And I just was in Puerto Rico this summer for the 50th anniversary of unicycling in Puerto Rico, and they had a unicycle basketball tournament.
Yeah, bring your mic closer to you only because.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's cool. So what made you decide to do this?
Well, I don't know how much your listeners know about Mike's foundation, but
yes, please.
Okay, so Mike and his wife Bridget, their son developed brain cancer, and even before he passed, his son had encouraged Mike to. Try to do something for other folks. And so they formed this foundation, Friends for Michael. And as a result, they have helped over 3,000 families around the U.S.
Over 3,200 families, yeah.
So, and Mike had done a number of marathons. I'm not a marathoner, and I hadn't been able to do anything. And I was doing a different charity ride, and I called Mike after that, and I said, I want to do something for you. And he said, I know. El Tour. And then I looked and I said, well, okay, if I'm going to do it, I got to do the 100-mile option. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's go big or go home.
You know, if we're trying to bring some attention to it, it should be big.
So. That's a big task. I mean, even for people on a single, on double, obviously. So what's the longest you've ever driven or ridden?
I actually did 101 miles like 6 years ago. But that was, I was 6 years younger, and I have since torn my ACL and mangled my meniscus, so I've recovered for the most part, but I'm not the man I once was, but I'm hoping that I'll be able to get this done in under the 10 hours.
Jim, none of us are the man we used to be. Right, Mike?
Yeah, that's talking from you, Steve.
Sure.
I remember the man you used to be, and that's not a bad thing.
So for some, it's an improvement, right?
Exactly.
Get out.
Yeah, exactly. That's the end of my interview. Thank you for playing, Mike.
Wah, wah. So have you been to Tucson a few times?
Years ago, but I've never cycled here. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally, I asked Mike, hey, could you go check out the course? And he said, nah, it's a road. So, you know. That's, so that's I'm literally like, riding the course. Sight unseen, so.
Just Mike, you know, hey, you want to go for pizza? I had one.
Just come out and do this.
Making you some money,
don't make me work hard.
Yeah. So are you taking him in the morning?
Oh, yeah, bright and early. Yeah, we're going to.
Are you sticking around? I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
You buying breakfast?
Yeah, it'll be great. I'll buy breakfast again.
And again.
Won't be the last time. I'll be taking him out there and. Trying to provide support on the course. I was going to ride with him, but...
Right, you were.
Yeah,
he was going to ride with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. No, that's fantastic. You're going to get there, and you're going to be among... Well, you saw it today because you were there picking up your packet. What did you think about the sea of people?
Well, it's impressive. Like, I I knew it was a pretty big event, but I had no idea. I've been reading this, 10,000 participants.
Well, just over 6,000. We have another few thousand doing indoor stuff.
Oh, okay.
So 6,000, okay. But it's going to be about 4,000 at the 100 mile. Then we have a 70. Then we have a 50 mile, and then we have a 25 mile. So the rest are dispersed.
Yeah.
And then we have a kid fun ride, which is about 800,000.
I was going to do that.
Yeah, you. I think you were, weren't you?
Yeah, kinda? I could do the
bring the girls out. Them.
Yeah,
bring your girls out and enjoy it. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it because someone's done it before on a unicycle.
Yeah, actually.
Did someone tell you that?
The unicycling community is relatively small, so I checked in. Hey, does anybody know unicyclists in Tucson? And there's a guy, Andy Moore, who is maybe 2 years my junior. And I guess he did it 6-7 years ago.
Before my time.
And he also did the 100. He had a slightly bigger wheel. And he told me that, but when he did it, it was 112 miles.
Yeah, because it's been much longer than this. Yeah. Have you ever tried this?
I ever tried unicycling?
Yeah.
I mean, so... Jim dabbled in it when we were in high school. And so when we went to, parties in high school, he'd bring it along. And after a few Kool-Aids, we'd...
For the girls, I assume.
Try it. Yeah. That's the way he picked up chicks. And I tried it.
I
have no sense of balance.
It requires talent.
Yeah, it's like I can barely walk straight.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Enough said. So obviously, is there a secret to it? There's always a secret to some things, and that has to be a secret.
Well, so I kind of have my pet speech on this because I've had people run up, let me try it. Then they try to get on and, this is impossible. Yeah. But the thing is, you have to remember when you learn to ride a bicycle, right? Most of us were kids. We either had a parent or somebody running next to us or we had training wheels. It still took some time. So unicycling actually doesn't take that much longer, but it's not just because you can ride a bike, you can then jump on a uni or it's going to feel impossible. It takes a little bit of time. You need a flat surface. You go to a basketball court or a tennis court, something that's very flat, grab onto a fence.
Yeah.
So the secret, honestly, is persistence because I've taught a lot of people to ride and some people kind of have natural talent and then they start to get going. But the ones that actually wind up getting good or sometimes they don't naturally have it, but they stick with
the persistent. No, and that's kind of like how Mike plays golf.
Just sticks with it, huh?
Sticks with it.
Complains. Well, could you imagine you playing golf?
The only difference is that you don't stop every 15, 20 minutes and get another beer.
Right.
Well, the other thing is you as I see you do with the unicycles, you sit up straight.
Yeah.
I mean, you sit up very erect, so you're kind of a little more balanced.
Yeah, in terms of comparing it to a bike, bicycling is literally the most efficient form of travel in terms of
mass move per
calorie burn. Unicycling isn't, but I would say I probably burn 3x. Or do 3 times the amount of work because A, I don't have the number of gears that a bike has. B, when I get to the top of a hill, then I also have to use my legs to brake going down a hill. So it's just a lot more work. Those are kind of the disadvantages. The advantages, I do get to sit up straight, so it's not a strain on my neck. And I also have a brake, so it's kind of a layer cake of skills because, again, if you're on a bike and you hit the brakes, unless you just slam the front brake, you're not going to like lose your balance and fall over. Yeah. But on a unicycle, as soon as you hit the brake, you're being propelled into forward, and as soon as you let go of the brake, the wheel wants to shoot out from under you. So you also have to learn how to feather the brake while you ride.
Let's take a break. You lost me at going up a hill.
Oh, sorry.
This is physical exertion of Steve.
Yes, dealing with Mike. I'm emotionally exhausted right now. We'll take a break here at 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. You like the music? This is right up your alley, guys.
It's high school stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's like we're back in back at high school parties.
my musical tastes have changed over the years.
Yes,
he does. He's a DJ for.
Oh, that's what you do, really?
Well, it's one of the things I do. It's not, it doesn't pay the bills.
Nothing does. Look at
me. DJ at clubs.
Yeah, right.
Look at me. I needed my boy Mike to adopt me.
Yeah.
I still do.
DJ's African music, right?
African, Caribbean, Latin.
Yeah.
And I teach salsa.
Cool, cool.
He's an interesting guy.
Jack of all trades, he's master
a
of none.
Of course he's a...
Yeah, well, and he's a lawyer. I mean, by trade, he's a lawyer. Oh, I'm sorry.
I got this problem. We'll talk after.
See what happens?
I'm trying to push your agenda.
So you're here till when? Sunday?
Or Monday, yeah.
Out of where? Out of LA?
Oakland, California.
Oakland. Oh, yeah.
Raiders.
Stay a week.
Warriors.
Oh, that's
but see what happened to them because they left. They left us. They went to San Francisco, and it's karma.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mike knows I'm a big Warrior fan because of Kerr and the guys. I have a lot of stuff from them in my house. And it's, you know, you can't be good looking all your life.
Yeah.
They'll regroup. You know, it's kind of like the problems I have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, there's a bad year.
Something
bad
will year. Happen.
Someday.
Something will happen.
How's that run, though? That's not a bad run you guys had.
It was fun, and I actually I crashed the Warriors parade on my unicycle. And had some fun with that.
Oh, did you?
Because you know we do unicycle basketball. I can dribble around. And do tricks.
You
and
must
stuff.
Have attention, Jim. Does you have attention?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey,
I mean, you're not look at his unicycle. I mean, his unicycle by itself, and then his helmet, and rides a unicycle. Yeah, he doesn't blend in.
No,
the background.
I wish that we could get more people, especially older people, to ride unicycles.
Oh,
it's really good for your core. And
what's older people?
Over 40.
Oh, yes, I am there.
Yeah.
I am there.
Yeah,
no, come on. In fact, we did a story. I did a story, and so did the Daily Star. John Gold, maybe 2 days ago, he did some story on 20. We had 23 80-year-olds in the event.
I saw that.
Did you read the story?
I did.
It was a great lead.
Yeah.
They don't want to break records. They just don't want to break their hip.
Yeah, exactly. That was
fantastic lead.
That was good. There was an article in the New York Times a while ago. So everybody knows that, like men, we lose like 1% of our muscle mass per year.
I started when I was 2. I was going to say, it's like
Steve started at 3% and he's like negative at this point.
But the other thing you lose is balance. You know, you always hear about people falling and breaking their hips. So they did an article in the New York Times, and one of the things that really helps balance is dancing, because you move random and it's really good for your brain. Of course, they didn't mention, because it's obviously a very out there rare thing, but unicycling, same thing. You're doing random movements, good for your brain. I really learned at 44.
I was going to say, you did. You're an exception, because that's a little old for that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you learned stuff when, like you said, when you're a kid, and you.
I learned it briefly. I rode for maybe 6 months, and then I didn't touch a unicycle for 30 years. And it's not like getting on a bike. I had to completely relearn.
And you did this on a whim? What was it again?
Well, I went to a wedding, and this woman at the wedding was talking about how next week she's going to do acro yoga and this and that and unicycle basketball and underwater basket weaving. And I was like, wait, what was that one? Unicycle
she
basketball?
She had to be cute, right?
Yeah, she was.
And then how did I figure this
that's
out?
That's not why I went. I was at that wedding with a girlfriend.
who's no longer a girlfriend.
No longer in the picture.
You guys, is this why I'm on this show?
Exactly.
There's no other reason but to pass the time, dude. Come on, Jim. So, no, that's going to be fun. You're going to be among a lot of cyclists. Like I say, about 4,000. If you're, you're just a normal, you're going to be middle of the pack probably.
Well, so if there's any cyclists listening to the show, the only thing I ask is don't get too close behind. I was in this thing called the Cape Argus. It's the biggest one-day cycling event in the world in South Africa. 40,000 people.
Oh, really?
I got taken out twice on that because people came up behind me, buzzed me really close, and I wound up going down. So,
You finished? Did you finish?
Oh yeah.
You were not hurt.
Two sharks. You know what in the sea? Of course I finished.
I'm trying to figure what they're doing this year.
Everything.
Like I told you, you start at 7, you're going about 10, 11, 12 miles per hour.
Yeah.
You're going to try to boogie faster.
Yeah. I'll take, you know, probably a number of short breaks, and then maybe like at the 50, 60 mile mark, I'll probably take 15 or 20 minutes to see how I'm doing.
What's your projected raise? Oh, in terms of money?
That depends on our listenership.
I'm asking for a friend.
Well, we set a target of $2,500, and I've got to go home and post on Facebook. I figure if I can get 250 people to sponsor me 10 cents a mile, 100 miles, yeah. 10 bucks, then I hit the goal.
Yeah.
So
that's the attorney in you kind of thing. Divide by 5, 67. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Break down the analysis.
Yeah, yeah. Per hour. I had a divorce. Yeah, I get that.
No, but it,
find me. What'd you do?
Sports writer can do that math in his head.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a quinella. The type 6. Yeah. Exactly. Trifecta.
Yeah. It's a quinella.
Trifecta.
Let's see if he hits 3 threes, then that's carry the one.
Who's your daddy? Come on, Papa needs a new pair of shoes. Yeah. Seven.
Yeah. A lot of fun. So, no, welcome to Tucson. We're going to talk sports. Mike's up. He's a ticket holder at U of A. Good luck with that, Mike.
Yeah,
football, basketball. We're going to talk more about that. But you must be a longtime fan. Were you a fan of Mike's? Because how good was he in high school?
He was really good.
Yeah.
Oh, if only this was TV, you could see my facial expression.
We got it on YouTube.
He was a pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was.
Went on to play at Army.
He did.
Yeah. Not basketball.
Well, it turns out. We used to shoot around a lot when we were kids, and we revisited, and it's the same result it's always been.
No.
Kicked his butt in the horse twice right before we got here.
So he finally beat me in horse.
Beat him like a red-headed stepchild.
I'm coming off knee surgery.
Oh,
he finally beats me in
horse. Excuses, the litany. You should work for the U of A.
Excuses.
I just want to say how much it means to me that a buddy of mine that I've had here for, 40-some-odd years, that he'll come out here and raise money for my son and awareness for my son's foundation. It really does matter. It is a big deal. It's a challenge. Only someone as crazy as Jim would take it on. So thanks, buddy.
And totally, because I should know this. You've helped more than 3,500 kids.
3,322 kids in all 50 states.
Given how much?
We've given over $3 million. Mm-hmm. We raised over $3 million, and it's been good. We honored my son. He passed away back in 2003. Mm-hmm. At age 14,
it was just his anniversary too recently.
He just had it would have been his 31st birthday on the 25th of October.
I remember that. It was a great story, and you're obviously doing a lot of things to help a lot of families, because I do those stories. It's unbelievable. It's whether it's 500 or 1,000, whatever it is, it's those families love you because of it.
I mean, they need it. It's crazy how much the expenses pile up and something like that, and what you need to do. Mm-hmm. So
I've seen their thank you letters and things like that. You did something not in terms of bicycling, but you marathons, half marathons.
Yep.
When was the last time you kind of did something like that? Crazy for you, because I don't see you running marathons.
No, I don't. I've got really bad knees. I did the LA Marathon 2 years ago. Or half marathon 2 years ago, did that twice. And then previously I'd done finished the LA Marathon. I've also done New York City half, Chicago half, and I did the Marine Corps Marathon.
In memory of your son.
Yeah, in memory of my son.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I know it's radio, but, I'm a big guy. And doing something like this is really unheard of. It's almost comical seeing me out there. Of course, if you could see me out there, you'd see the pain that I'm going through to get done. So it's not that comical, but those are things you do for your son.
Right. No question. I get that totally. Okay, I think we're going to go to break here in about a few seconds. Let's go to break, come back, and we'll talk more about this as well, but we're talking UA football, UA basketball, with the breaking news that Devin Aire-Dutrieve is no longer on the team, and the sad news that UA football is still bad.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mike said he's taking me to the U of A game tomorrow. So hopefully I'll be able to stay awake after my ride.
You're packing the Pac-12 overnight. You get it. You get it. Good luck with that.
Cool.
Okay, here we go. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, in with Jim Sowers and Mr. Mike Quinn. Jim is going to be riding the El Tour 100 mile on a unicycle. Good luck with that, Jim.
Thank you.
So you live in Oakland. You're well aware of the Pac-12 and its misery in football and all that stuff?
Woefully not super aware.
Oh, because you're not a...
I don't want to watch a lot of college sports.
Oh, but you watch?
Is that bad?
No, no, that's fine. Hey, I'm not a sports fan myself.
He just has to watch it because of its job.
It's my job.
Some NFL, a fair bit of NBA and tennis.
Yeah, well,
I'm
no
a Nadal
more
fan.
No more NBA for the next 2-3 years when the Warriors come back.
Till the Warriors come back.
Look, Listen, I'm a Californian. I grew up in L.A. with Mike. I can claim the Lakers and the Clippers now.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And go to another Lakers game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Mike, you have tickets. We can talk a little football. U of A football. You have season tickets.
I do.
How's that money spent?
It's fun to watch other games on TV.
In the Sam's Club.
In the Sam's Club. It's like they get great food. I'm loving the Sam's Club.
It's about $1,000 a game.
Exactly.
For food.
Yeah, it's
like going to Vegas. How much does that meal cost you? About $12,000.
They're exciting. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the
who is
the Arizona. Arizona's been exciting in football. It reminds me of the those old the old video game, football video games, where you do, where you'd like try and score really fast, and then you wouldn't really pay attention on defense, and then the other team would score, and then you'd get the ball again.
That's pretty much it on defense.
Yeah, it's like we need to. I think we're getting better. I think we need to.
You're getting
we need to shore
better.
Up the defense. We need to shore up the defense.
Did you find him under? Where'd you find him? Under a rock or something? Where's he been? They've lost 5 straight games. They look horrible.
They need to get better on defense.
They just fired everybody. So
yeah,
good luck
I understand that. They need to get better on defense, but they've needed to get better on defense for a while,
like 3 years.
Yeah, I know.
Steve, may I ask you a question?
Please.
Because maybe some of your listeners are in my boat. They don't know what the Pac-12 situation is. Could you give me a quick?
Yeah, sure. Arizona's at the bottom.
Yeah.
We'll start there.
Yeah. That's not a problem for an Oaklander.
Yeah, there you go.
Utah's in there. USC. Utah is going to probably win the South and then have to play Oregon for the North in a couple of weeks. Utah comes in this weekend. Surprising, they're only a 10-point favorite over Arizona. They're ranked number 7th, I think, in the country.
Yeah,
so
I don't think they're convincing anybody.
Well, because it's Utah. I mean, how?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They're not on the TV. No one sees them anymore.
Well, maybe Arizona's better than you giving them credit for.
No.
Wow.
What are you?
Here I am from out of town sticking up for Arizona.
He's an apologist. He's from out of town.
He sits here and is like, I want to start out by saying I don't follow college
right.
sports. Okay, but now what I'd like to do is give you my opinion on college sports.
Can you cut his mic off, please?
James, Jim, he has a point. He has a point. Welcome to my show.
Exactly.
Just have a point in your case.
Is this opinion radio? Because I have an opinion regardless of my knowledge.
If I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. That's
No, they're just not any good. They're just not any good. This year's a bad year.
Right.
And it could snowball into next year again and the next year, and good luck with that. But, Mike, I'm teasing Mike because he's been a loyal fan since he got his tickets a few years back, goes to games, loves the game, and you're still hoping.
Yeah, I mean, every year, hope springs eternal. It's been frustrating, but hopefully, we can turn it around. We need to get better on defense. I mean, that's the key thing. The last couple of years, that's what it's been. We've had some offense.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to move the ball. We've had a running game. What we've lacked is, I think, is a defense, ability to get off the field. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I follow Army football, and Army football is running the same thing.
Yeah, right, but they played teams tough. They played Oklahoma to the wire.
Michigan.
Michigan, they played
Oklahoma last year. You probably haven't seen them since then. But
no, I saw them against Michigan. Just forgot.
Yeah, Michigan. They had a 50-yard field goal to win it, and in regulation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So they've had a tough year with injuries. Hopefully they'll get a little healthy by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's same thing. They're just having a hard time getting the other team off the field, and it's tough to do that.
Let me ask you something, because we both have kids. Do you have kids? No?
Not that I know of. I check the mailbox every Father's Day, but so far nothing.
Well, that's a good thing.
Exactly.
Because you worked with the football program at Army.
Yeah, well, yeah, at Army.
You're well aware of kids and how you harass them, however. The study came out recently, and I've known this for a while, only because I kind of cover the teams. Mm-hmm. Anxiety, kids and anxiety at the college level.
Yeah.
It's just
right.
huge.
It is.
Huge depression, things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not a shock to you because of what you did in your previous life.
No, not at all. I mean, you get that a lot. And, you know, so I taught at the military academy for many, many years and worked at the Army football team and also the, you know, the cadets who were, you know, not on the football team. There's a lot of it there. I mean, the expectations are very high. Mm-hmm. And
from
pressure.
From themselves or the parents?
From parents. The parents are very proud that their kids are going to the military academy. And there's expectations to go there and do really, really well. But you're in the midst of, you know, some very high-talented, high-performing people. And so it's tough to continually compare yourself to that group. And so pressure is very high. You get a lot of anxiety. It's kind of that, you know, that time of your life where you have that anxiety at its peak. So you got to keep an eye on the kids quite a bit.
And
I've seen people that have handled it very well. And unfortunately, I've ran into a couple that have not handled it very well.
The one thing that I kind of thought, and I'll stand by this, is most of the kids are told they're the best thing since sliced bread, at least athletically. Mm-hmm. And they get there and they get there and then they get broken down and then they get rebuilt, if you will.
I'm not a big fan of the, you know, tear them down, rebuild them approach. And I think that we've kind of gotten away. Soon we got away from that at West Point, and hopefully we're getting away. I mean, that's a whole hazing mentality. But I think that there is an issue with people who have been told that they're the best or have always been the best. Mm-hmm. And then coming into a situation where they're a middling player. Mm-hmm. You get people that show up at West Point that have been All-State, you know, the valedictorian, done all this other stuff, and then they get there and they're just middle of the pack. They're not mm-hmm. able to make the team, and you know they're out there and struggling academically, and that's very difficult. It's very difficult to deal with, especially when you're away from your family in an environment like that.
That's when you came in, didn't you? That's what you did.
I helped work with the football team like that. And I worked with cadets who were not on the football team and tried to work with them to help them along that way. That's one great thing about at West Point. You do have a lot of interaction with the players. So we had 50 faculty members that were just right there with football players mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And you always have a faculty member, an Army officer that is associated with a sports team or a club team. To keep an eye on them and everything everything other than the sport itself.
Right.
So, which was good.
I just wanted to bring that up. It's sports related only in the sense that they come here and everyone says, "Oh, you're good. And you're not, you're only good as they believe in you. Right. And if somebody else is better.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to take that back. I mean, we've rolled it back into Arizona basketball. We've had I've seen a number of things like on your show or on some of your Twitter feed where people are talking about, you know, so many players leaving mm-hmm. Arizona. And you do run into a situation like that. You know, Sean Miller goes out and recruits some high quality players mm-hmm. and they get here and it's like, okay, we've got 8 high quality players. And it's like, well, we only got 5 spots on the court and 1 basketball. Mm-hmm. That's hard for a lot of these kids, and they are kids.
Yeah, and would you say that the kids, and we talk about this all the time in terms of recruiting, Arizona's got this and they got that and they have these new buildings and it's, kids want to play.
Yeah.
Facilities are something, but they're not everything.
Facilities are good to recruit. Facilities are good to train. But you're right. At the end of the day, that court is all that really matters. That field is all that really matters. Mm-hmm. You want to be on there. We have a good mutual friend, Paul Peroni, who talks about these guys that come and they are all state, but they're the number 9 player that never sees the court. Mm-hmm. Why do you stick around at Arizona? You want to be part of a team like that, right. Which is good.
And they think that this is their way to the league?
You get some people that have come in and they think this is the way to the league. And, yeah. You know, it's tough to, some of them are finding out that they're, you know, there's a lot of things in the way between them and the league.
Talent.
Yeah, talent. You know, talent, odds, ability.
Odds against. Other players that are better somewhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've got the internet and everything's closer and you can see these people play. But when you get on the court and you realize, like, going, oh my goodness, is that guy fast?
Right.
It matters.
And our guys can't cover him.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
we seem to be playing good, better defense this year.
Yeah. Well, not specific to this year, but you know.
Yeah.
Overall, let's take a quick break, Tom, and come back on the other side. Talk about UA basketball with Bruce Pasco of the Daily Star. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. We're waiting for Tom to get off his dinner date with Bruce. I guess I'm not too sure what's going on. And we'll have Bruce Pasco talk about the Debonair Dutrieve situation with basketball, what he thinks of U of A basketball to this point. Sean Miller kind of returning to being Sean Miller over the week, last night, kind of getting on me on a question I asked him. I was more than okay with it. I actually laughed at it. And, you know, just the way it is. Stay the course. Is he on? But no? Okay. You can continue to your little dinner date there. If you want to call him, please do 790-2040. That's the line to hear to talk about whatever you want to. UA football, are you going to tomorrow's game at 8 o'clock? It's going to be a late night out at McHale Center, but that's UA Stadium. And then Sunday UA basketball comes back, UA men's basketball comes back, and we'll see what happens. I know that Tom is having a hard time with that phone over there. 790-2040 if you'd like to call in. It's funny watching this happen, and it's my career going down the tube. But it's a long day for me today. L tour tomorrow. L tour again all day with 1,000 or about 6,000, 7,000, close to over 6,000 cyclists around town, going all over the city. And nothing. What's wrong?
We got some kind of a fly in the ointment, a gremlin in the works. We got technical problems. Let me see if I can figure this out.
We do? Here on our end? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I'm not sure if you guys can call in at all. So it's just the way it is. So long day today, long day tomorrow. And then another year of El Tour, the 37th annual. This is the Banner University Medicine 37th El Tour. And a lot of things going on. Women basketball, I think, tomorrow during the day. Football game late tomorrow night, men's basketball Sunday afternoon. So, you know, just a busy time of year. I know it is for me going to all these games. Don't even know where I live sometimes. And Tom is having a hard time. Nothing yet. Okay, anybody wants to call in, please do. 790-2040. Doesn't look like he's going to get Bruce. And I don't know what's going on. Good to have Mike Quinn in and his guy Jim Sowers, as he's going to try to do the 100-mile route of El Tour in the morning, 7 in the morning. He says it's probably taking about 10 hours. 10 hours, get him in at about 5 o'clock, right as the route is going to shut down. But good, noble try at it. And it looks like, I don't know what's going on with him here. Maybe we got him now. Let's go. We got him. Bruce, are you on the phone?
Yeah, except my dog is barking now. But yeah.
That's fine. Hey, well, if that's the least of your worries after what happened today, after last night's game, what happened with Debonair? What's going on?
It sounds to me like there's maybe a couple of different things going on, but nobody's really saying a whole lot about it. So,
yeah.
You know,
if you don't know,
usually,
you can't say.
Usually, you know, when it's a violation of team rules and they don't specify it, you can usually sort of go through the process of elimination. You know, if it's a criminal thing, it's in the court cases or you see it in the police reports. If it's a late practice showing up or something, they'll usually say that. If it's academics, usually they'll say that. So then you kind of like, what's left here? And, you know, it's usually something behavioral that they're doing or something.
Sure.
they're acting, one or the other, and, you know, maybe a combination of both.
So you and I talk at length every now and again. We've known each other for a long time, especially covering this team on a day-to-day for a long time. Sean, up until yesterday, had been non-Sean, you know, mostly kind of good and all that. Last night he was a little tough. But if you listen to his interview again, he kind of mentioned some player going rogue to me. Did you hear that?
Yeah. I think that's why I think there is multiple things going on here.
Yes.
And that's very possible. We don't know. Nobody's going to say that for sure. In fact, I even tried to get some clarification from them today whether this suspension, whether this was a different incident or a repeated incident, and they wouldn't say. But, the timing of it suggests that there might have been something
new
that came down today.
Yeah.
Because not only was he complaining about shots being taken
willy-nilly,
especially at a time when Zeke is hitting 100%, basically, you know, got to get at the ball to him. You know, Devin Ayer went 1 for 6.
Right.
Sean Miller says we're going to take care of this tomorrow, first thing tomorrow, which would indicate that he's probably going to either make him practice or hold some meetings.
Right.
And you know, so if I had to guess, something maybe came to a head at a meeting like that. You know,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe it was a culmination of a bunch of things. I don't really know. Yeah, I do know that Dutrieve is in a tough spot because he came back. You know, he was going to transfer, and then he came back. I think with the expectation that he was going to have a pretty decent role, and then he was playing well. He played really well in the red-blue game. He won the gold jersey in a couple of weeks in October practice. You know, and Miller even referred to him when he was out for that first exhibition game against Chico State. He was out, and Miller referred to him as being the starter that they were without that night. So he was in pretty good shape there. And then all of a sudden, Jamal Baker gets eligible, and Dutrieve, for whatever reason, is suspended and falls really quickly from number 5 to number 9, basically, as far as their rotation. And so there was definitely some pressure there. You know, if and how that was part of this is hard to say exactly, but regardless, that definitely was a source of potential friction.
Yeah, no question. I think you're on the money. I would have done the same evaluation, you know, given my time with the program.
Well, yeah. The other thing, of course, was it was funny how he poked fun at your wanting to run, you know, the we should run faster comment. And
right,
he used the whole rush shots thing to explain, in his view, that you shouldn't always run. And if you're going to run, you need to do it smartly. And so he was trying to use, you know, make fun of you while making that point, and that was kind of funny.
You knew, I know, I think we all know Sean well enough that he had rehearsed that, or he was ready for that with me,
waiting for some time to use it at the proper thing.
Right,
and most of it is, it's not so much as you, he's trying to get at his guys and get them to do the right thing and run in his you know, the way it should be done, his view. So that's ultimately where
he's given out. What he said, how did I handle it?
You?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was hilarious. You actually laughed back and played along with it, whereas a lot of people, and we've seen this over the years, a lot of times he'll poke fun at somebody in that way, and that reporter gets, you know, humbled a little bit and just kind of shuts up or whatever. And it's, you know, it takes, you know, it, I guess when you're like crusty veterans like we are, it's, you know, just kind of roll with it a little bit. And
I thought it was funny. If I would have, you know, when he said that, I laughed. I would have said, you know, I still do. But I laughed.
Yeah.
I got his point.
Right. And it's hard to tell exactly if he's laughing or if he's really seriously trying to make a point. And I think it was maybe a combination of both, with him airing maybe me more serious because he really was obviously pretty upset. Because I think you've talked for 15 minutes, and I think basically it was about 3 minutes of content and about 12 minutes of going back to how they're just taking dumb shots and should be getting Zeke the ball. I mean, that's what he kept saying over and over and over.
Right. It was the same message.
Which is unusual for him. He's usually, you know, if he talks for 15 minutes, there's a lot there, and he's going a lot of different directions and addressing the different topics. But what happened last night was the same topic over and over, which tells you he was really, really upset about it.
Right. In fact, I think you had predicted that it would take a while for him to get out of the locker room, and that was not the case.
Yeah, you know, I guess I was wrong on that. And a lot of times, maybe it's more that sometimes if there's things that are a little wrong and maybe things that we don't see and that they don't see because maybe some other things are going well, then he will use it as a teaching tool and really dig into it and say, look, you guys got to do this. But maybe in that case, last night he was so frustrated that he just told him a few things and said, you know, we'll deal with it tomorrow or whatever. And that
right.
very well could have been what happened.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Well, another game. I mean, there's 31 in my mind, and if I wasn't against Marner, this is one of 31. They'll come back and run a little bit more, maybe not to the extent that we think they will, but it was just a bad game. It happens.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought they'd have a few of these kind of games. I thought they could lose to Illinois. I mean, going into the season, I didn't know exactly how good Zeke Nagy was going to be and some of the other things that have gone well for them. But regardless, this is a team that has three freshmen leading the way, eight new guys. It's inevitable they're going to have some letdowns and adversity. And you know, it's also in human nature where
right. –
you know, where you're just not maybe as up for an opponent that's from a low major conference. And I think that's a little bit what happened, too.
Bruce, get back to your wife. Have a good night. I'll see you Sunday.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you guys next week.